This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
Well, I guess I want to ask again. Is there hope? If it's no, I've got reverse AFC power rankings right here. We've got that NFLPA survey. We've got, of course,
F-minus?
F minus.
I didn't even know that was a real thing. I haven't been to school in a while. But
F minus.
F minus.
I like this point. F minus to me seems like just, you know, like a cartoon.
Right.
Not a real.
Yeah,
F is the lowest.
Yeah, it's like Bugs Bunny the teacher. Like, what are we doing here?
F minus.
The show ever sounded older.
The Bengals food.
See, kids, Bugs Bunny was a cartoon character.
The Patriots plane.
Right.
And the Bills plane.
Ashtrays in the armrests of the seats. Imagine that.
Bills players are upset that they're cramped while the coaches sit in luxury.
Mm-hmm.
F or F minus?
F minus. That was an F minus. I'm pretty sure that's where the F minus came from.
Did you see what head coach got?
I don't remember the grade. I did see, if you go in there, it's like he's got an 88% approval rating, I guess, amongst the players surveyed.
B, which ranked 27th.
Really?
That's what I'm saying.
All these other wow.
Are they all afraid?
Yeah.
Like they all just love their coaches?
That can't be right.
Dan Quinn got an A+.
Well,
he's that cool.
They showed up and, you know, changed everything over there. I mean,
I guess that's right.
I could get that.
You have to like him.
It's like a tsunami of positivity that has rolled through Washington with him getting there. It's the, you know, the ownership and the quarterback and everything else. But he's riding a wave right now. But yeah,
McDermott got a B, which ranked 27th. Are there scales of B? I mean, there's B+, there's B-,
yeah.
But like of all the Bs,
right,
are they all tied? Or is like a B point this, B point this?
I don't know how that works, and I'm not sure how, like, if there are percentages attached to all of these. I just saw someone subtweet that whole storyline and say if you go in there, McDermott has like 88% of the Bills players surveyed, approve of him.
27th.
Yeah, that's not there's only 32 teams for now.
So you're saying, I think, there's still no hope for you. You've given up. You want to talk NFLPA. You want to talk about how the Bills rank in dining?
You can
instead of the Sabres.
I don't know. I am trying. I am trying. I liked Paul's layout of the Lindy framework, the Lindy plan.
Yesterday?
Yeah, during pregame.
It was a nice, spirited conversation.
Five game increments. 7 out of 10 points, 3-1-1. Like, we do that, we can get there. Like, we'll give ourselves a chance if we can get there. You know, I don't know why you got to settle for, you know, losing 2 out of every 5 games, but, you know, okay.
Or 1.5.
Sure, to be more fair, sure, you get a
I thought it was supposed to be one game at a time.
Right? Yeah, I don't know.
No, but why I like it, if I may, is, and this would be, you know, useful for fans, and that's maybe why you like it. Sort of it lays it out for fans that it's not as remote a possibility as you might think. The funny thing about 1%, which is where we've been, 1% during that break to make the playoffs,
yeah,
the graphics, the asteroid.
The asteroid. Better chance of asteroid crashing into Earth.
The thing about 1% is it's not zero. And in, was it 2011, the year they made it last?
Yes.
Or the one year, a couple of years later, where they were also way back and they got there. They won a game in Washington and they got there and they fell back again.
I think that was the following year. I think that was the year after they had that incredible stretch run.
Well, it certainly was like pre-Reinhardt, which was 14. So it had to be before, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But 1% is not zero, which is not to represent false hope. It's just to say 99% is not 100,
right,
and 1% is not zero. So, you know, you keep playing, and that sort of five-game breakdown, you know, analysis, I guess, might be helpful to players.
You asking me that yesterday, maybe more than once, and again now at the outset today, you asking me that question had an impact on me. Because I feel like of the two of us, for many of these seasons, you've been way more at arm. Like I'm
so done,
and I'm not bragging here. I mean, I watch. This year, there have been stretches. I'll admit, over the holidays, I was off, and I didn't miss them while I was gone. You know, like I didn't feel compelled to be in front of the TV every night recreationally. I didn't need to know what happened to talk about it if there would be anything worth talking about on the show. So I just sort of let them be over there. And when that happens to me, that's happened a couple other times much earlier in the drought. I can remember talking about being at Holiday Twin Rinks for a Regals practice and just not caring about the Sabres game on the giant TV in the lobby there because I'm just dead inside, kind of.
When that happened to me like a month ago, by the way. Jersey.
But when you asked me that, I think like, what are you know, should there be? Should I? All right. I wanted to watch that game last night. I loved how they played great in the first period and got a 5-on-3 goal against. And then weren't very good in the second, but I stayed in there. Like, you want to get me back? Right, you want me to be paying attention to you? Beat Anaheim, okay? And they, you know, they managed to get there. They played a great third period. So I don't know. I guess I can't say I'm ambivalent about it because I cared about them coming back last night. You know, I don't just tweet garage however many times in a row that is in a close game at the end with the Sabres leading.
By the, you don't know how many times it is?
I don't know.
Is that a copy paste?
It is. But I've never counted.
I
have never counted.
All right.
I did it one time.
14.
And
say 14.
Okay. Like I really want them to win the game because, you know, the only way you're going to get there is to win a bunch in a row here or, you know, go 3-1-1. 6 times or 5 times or whatever.
And then win the last 3
right,
to get to 90, which right, is maybe.
Right, right. So, you know, as long as you can keep me, stay out of the ditch here with losing streaks, and we'll see how the 3-1-1 thing goes. I cared enough to notice today, you know, a lot of games last night, went through and like, oh, great, Detroit won. Oh, great. Columbus won. Oh, great. The Rangers won. Like, everybody won.
I made a note a half an hour ago after what this all was yesterday that guess who told me today what happened in the rest of the Eastern Conference? So you're not totally dead.
Right.
To be redundant. Dead is totally dead. Dead. They're not dead.
Dead is not looking.
They're not dead.
Dead is not looking at the other scores.
What they... It is a long time ago, and it might sound ridiculous, but I think it's okay to have hope. even if it does. And last night, the whole game reminded me of 2011 when Pegula bought the team. And they were dead like this. I remember one day, 14 years ago, sitting in here. No cameras then. Cameras had not been invented back then on radio. But just railing on Jochen Hecht for a bad effort in Calgary. Like, this thing is so... It's Lindy's the coach, and it was just, you know, they had the fluke year in 10, I would call it. Two prior years where they missed. You know, then you have the Drury Brière debacle and everything from their ancient past now. In 11, they trudged through 50-some games and were nowhere. The sale happens, I don't know, kind of right around now.
Mm-hmm.
And they just won all the time. And I think of Vanek the most. He's the guy I think of for that.
Yeah.
Because Vanek, like, there were a couple of home games, one against the Lightning, I want to say, where they might have been the better team, but they're down. And last night I thought of this, because last night they were always the better team in that game. And they're down 2-0 after two. And I wanted to, it's a feels thing, not a data thing. But I admit, like, in my mind was, this the team I want this team to be somehow wins tonight. Even if it's in a shootout. And if it's Vanek going, you know, around the world. Like, even if it's in a shootout, this team wins tonight. The team I want it to be, to give me sort of like, you know, a reason for believing, has to win this game. Home, Ducks, and you're just kind of destroying them, but you're down. And well before the Peterka goal for 2-1, they're all over them. Like, it's just, come on, get there. And they do before it's too late. I mean, the Joakim Haru goal is without, like, plenty of time left.
Oh, yeah, there was a lot of time left. Yeah, it never even got to, like, desperation time. It was, like, I thought, you know, when they made it 2-2, I thought they were going to win the game 5-2.
Yeah, there was 10 minutes
kind of the way it was going. It was a lot of time left, and the Anaheim looked like they had absolutely been, like, taking a punch right on the chin and were wobbling.
Tuck has a chance before his goal where Thompson and Tuck, like, they're on him, comes back down the ice, and then he scores. What was the second Anaheim goal? Were four of the five goals in this game scored from, like, the goal line?
Just about, yeah.
The two last Sabre goals, and then you have the first one. I think both Anaheim goals were... What did you think of the goalie on those? Like, was he slow?
The second one, for sure, I thought was...
Get over there.
Very tough. Yeah.
I'm feeling something.
He must have been... to me, an indication of you're late getting there is if when the play's over... I mean, I realize he knows the puck got through him, but he had to slide so fast that he ends up almost in the corner at the end of that play. And that just tells me he was late getting to his spot.
There was one of those with the goalie pulled, by the way, when Anaheim put the pressure on. Right after they pulled the goalie, they put the pressure on, and he was like way over here.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Well, the Anaheim goalie, while we're here, I mean, Dostal made some really great saves in that game, but holy cow, the winning goal, if he doesn't knock his own net up, I don't think that has room to go in.
Four goals in this game were like if you're good. at Darien Lake or something, and you're just sort of shooting for targets, and you're trying to hit that one right up the postage stamp. Like, oh, both the last Sabre goals and then kind of the Anaheim goals were from the same spot. Anyway, I'm a little bit interested.
I feel like, you know, you referenced that run in 11. Maybe I'm gonna look through that season. I feel like I want to know we should know that number 24-3 or something, like 24-3 or 24-4, like whatever it was. Like, it was close to 30 games and they won 20 of them. It was a great run to make the playoffs that year.
Ending with one of the most special nights in the history of the building.
Everybody who ever played for the team was invited back. I don't know that every single person came, but there were hundreds of alumni there.
Yeah, well, there were a lot. I mean, it was really great. 2011. They ended up 43-39. Right now they're 24-32. I don't have time for the overtime losses.
Yeah, right.
That'll be what it is. So to get there, just for a starting point, is 19-7. the rest of the way. Isn't that kind of how we're talking?
That's, yeah.
And that was 96 points.
Oof.
So, you know, again, it's not going to be perfect because right. overtime loss. They right. had 10 that year. I don't know. It might be too late. That's the problem. Like, it might be too late. But they look pretty good. And I want to say that maybe they are pretty good. Darlene just never makes a bad play. I hope people appreciate him. That guy has been here only in losing years. I mean, just like Eichel, but he bailed. I mean, Darlene has been the whole time. You ever hear him complain about it? I don't know. I've never met the guy. I don't know how he thinks. But he just never makes a bad decision with the puck. And I feel like we should appreciate that.
Yeah, I felt like most of the time early in the game and then in the third period again, the second period was kind of just bleh. So, yeah, I give them credit for digging out of that and playing like they did in the first and the third. I felt like, I don't say every time, because lots of guys had good nights and good moments. But, man, I felt like every time Anaheim was on their heels in their own zone for like a minute and a half at the time, it was Darlene and Byram just like doing circles around the zone. Just the two of them just running the show.
And Byram is just like kind of he's lucky to be out there for that, I think. But, yes. Different forward combinations, yes. Anybody who knows us knows how we feel right now. Like there's a tinge, right? There's a tinge of excitement, but we also don't want to sound like idiots,
right?
Or suckers, not idiots, but suckers. Like, oh wow, they're still in last in the East, and they have a third of the season left. And what are you telling me to buy in? I don't know. I don't want to be telling you that. I mean, they just haven't earned quite that level or that benefit of the doubt, but they just danced on this team last night, and they've done that a few times in the last month, enough times. It's just a question of if the hole is too big. And these other teams winning, how many of them are like Columbus? That's what's really going to hurt. It's not Boston right now. It's not the Rangers or even the Islanders. It's never the Flyers. It's not the Penguins. It's not the teams like sort of the Blue Bloods here that I think you're going to have to come over the top of. It's the Blue Jackets and the Red Wings and the Senators. These are, or even Montreal, perhaps, is like the team. It's those guys. It's not this time. You know, it's like maybe the year the Dolphins won the AFC East in the Brady years with the Wildcat. Like, that couldn't have been me. Brady misses the whole year with an ACL. I'm still 6-10 or whatever I am. Like, that could, oh, that's the year actually where the Bills start 4-0 with Edwards. And that, you know, that falls apart. Yeah. That couldn't have been me. So,
yeah, the fact that it's a year where one of the big teams at the top of the division is sort of in an also-ran position, that's Boston. And you couldn't take advantage of that like Ottawa has. I mean, they're not in a spot today, but it's very close. Detroit has. They're in a spot as of today. Montreal's also not in the spot, but still, they're all ahead of you. And we've been waiting for years for one of those top teams. Like Florida, for a while, it was Toronto, Tampa, Boston. Good luck getting a top three spot in the division, but just pray for a wild card. Now, then Florida's emerged, and like they're just a wagon year over year now. They've sort of supplanted, taken Boston's spot there. So you still have the same problem. You've got these three teams, you know, at the top that are, you know, look like they're going to be hard to catch. And the fact that Boston's down should have been an opportunity for you, but it's not. I mean, down, whatever. I mean, they're in the race. They're in better shape than you. But with that said, like, there's talk about them selling parts off because they're not used to this sort of, it's the trade deadline and we're not comfortably coasting to a certain first round matchup against the two or the three in the division. Like, that's been their life for the last, I don't know, I feel like almost since the divisions got reconfigured.
Well, they should. And if you're one of the other teams, you want, for a team like that that's won so much, to accept their fate and feel like their fans will accept it because they know they're not a championship threat, and that makes maybe frees them up to do something like that. So that'd be good. The Sabres have their own questions when it comes to the deadline. Like, when is it? Next week?
Next Friday. So, yeah, Zucker, Greenway. Like, what are we doing here? We'll talk to Kevin Adams on Friday. I know when we visited with him last month, I asked him about Zucker and Greenway, and you know it was vague enough, but I mean he did talk about, I think it was more with Zucker, that like we've had some conversations, I've talked to the player, I've talked to his representatives, but nothing's happened yet that we know of. So
may I invoke the Detroit Tigers for this point?
Go on.
May I invoke the Detroit Tigers, attention. Who had not been to the playoffs or had been good in forever, almost maybe like exactly the same year, and they got to the baseball trade deadline last year and they dumped a couple guys like that and they got hot. They made it anyway. They traded to Texas, I think it was, and Texas slumped and that's the story you want. That's the story you want. You want to make those shrewd deadline moves as a, you know, seller anyway, and then still win because you can score like crazy. I mean, the Sabres, we figured this out. I didn't know it until last night. But after talking with you and Paul, like, goals per game, they're ahead of the Leafs.
Right.
So give me a couple more saves and keep going. And you got to stay healthy and everything, but I don't know. I'd trade one of those guys, I think, depending on what. Am I getting something interesting or am I just doing it to do it? I'd want to get like a good pick out of it, probably, or a prospect. I think that's still how you have to be if you're the Sabres. You still have to be like that. You're not going to spend, we already know they're not going to spend top dollar. So you still have to be future minded. And if it's Jason Zucker or even Greenway, like, due respect, that's a move I make. I mean, maybe not both. I don't know how deep they are or they think they are, but that's something I would do.
I have almost no interest in doing that. Merely because it's not to say that it's not the smart thing to do. The list is so long of guys that there are already, like, well, there's a mid-teens first-round pick. It's very promising. The pool of I know, like, Zucker and or Greenway are going to be free to leave for nothing, but I don't know.
They're not first-round picks,
no,
are they?
No. I don't think so.
It's a prospect.
I think 10 years ago, maybe, in a world where Paul Gostad was a first-round pick, maybe, it would stun me if they were attractive. And if it's anything but that, I don't know. Like, I don't want to just sit on guys for the wing and a prayer that you're going to win three out of these five and whatever. That you're going to get there. That you're going to approach 90 points here somehow. But I don't know, I'm also not looking forward to talking or hearing from Kevin Adams next Friday about the third-round pick they got for somebody. You know, it's just great, golf clap. So this is better, like us even talking this out. I'm not telling you to buy in out there. I don't want to be a sucker. I don't want you to be a sucker. I guess the best way I could say it is they've got my attention. They've got my attention. And a couple of weeks ago, I don't think I would have told you that. A couple of weeks ago, I would have struggled to honestly tell you how I felt about them.
They still have to win two-thirds to three-quarters of their remaining games. And I'm not sure they're good enough to do that. That's what makes the math so tough. But man, last night they were dominant. 6 out of 7, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm intrigued. 803-0550. Well, you, sir, can wait over here. Reverse AFC. Didn't do him yesterday. Travis Hunter can wait. Everybody can wait. Lines are open. What are your thoughts? We'll talk to Chris Trapasso today and every Wednesday through the rest of the season before the draft, the NFL draft, in about 2 months. That'll be at 4 Eastern today, all times Eastern. Also, Sal Capaccio at 5, again from Indianapolis. We talked about the formidable one. Kenneth Grant.
Oh, that's who that was.
Yesterday. Yeah. And Sal was privy to a conversation with him today. So let's go. Are you buying into the Sabres at all? You can admit it. We don't even know your real names. 803-0550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.